15 miles from here is Manhattan. And there's a little confluence of a few places there that I want to highlight. I was walking down the street, and someone pointed to the Starbucks that's in Astor Place in Manhattan. And I used to live right near there. And we realized that that Starbucks has been there for more than 20 years. And if you think about it, that was a good day for that landlord. Because for 20 years, month after month after month, Howard Schultz and Starbucks sends him a really big check. That model is one of the oldest economic models we have, the economic model of paying rent. And if you read the work of economists from the 1700s, that's what they were all talking about, that people who owned land were going to make all the money. Because they're not making any more land, we can extract as much profit as we want. As the population grows, land becomes more valuable. Rents was the key. Own a thing that you can rent out. But it's called Astor Place. Astor Place is named after a guy named Astor, who in the late 1800s was the richest person in America, or maybe the world. And John Jacob Astor didn't make money by renting things. He made money by being a manufacturer, by being in the railroad business, by doing all those things that robber barons did in those days. So we went from owning a piece of land to owning a factory. But only a few subway stops away from Astor Place is Goldman Sachs. And Goldman Sachs doesn't actually make anything, right? Goldman Sachs just moves piles of money from one place to another, and it's the people who are doing that that made a fortune in the last generation, right? That this idea of manipulating resources as they go back and forth is one level further down the road from owning a factory or a train. But just down the street from there is the Union Square Cafe, which Danny Meyer started, that is a restaurant that for years and years, as long as its lease landed, back to rent, made a lot of money, but also made a lot of difference for people and has led to now dozens of restaurants around the city. Well, what does he do there, right? He doesn't move money from one pile to another. He doesn't own the building. He doesn't, yeah, I mean, he makes, you know, garlic aioli, but really what he does is he makes a connection. And that the reason people go there instead of going somewhere else, the reason people pay extra there instead of somewhere else, is because that connection is worth something. Being recognized when you walk in the door is worth something. Getting your usual table is worth something. Feeling like you are at home is worth something. And so I think there's been an evolution of value creation. And what's fascinating now is even though there's way too much gap between the rich and the poor, way too much power going to the 1%, there's also this door that is opening. And the door that is opening is one that Goldman Sachs can't go through, but one that small business people can go through, nonprofit leaders can go through, individuals can go through. And that door is, can we connect? We're leaving the industrial economy and entering the connection economy. And that what people are paying for and flocking to and talking about is connection. So the heart of the arc of what I want to talk about today is, what do we need to do in the connection economy? Because the rules are totally different. If we had gone back to Ricardo in the 1700s and said, let us tell you about the economics of industrialism, it would have been a really weird conversation because he understood rents. Industrialism had all these new rules, and we figured it out for 100 years, and now there's connection. What are those rules? Okay.